apologize to David for giving him that short scripture this morning. I know he likes those long ones like tonight. Don't worry about living. It's an old, old poem. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and hurry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. And that poem has been around for a long, long time. But its point made from this scripture about if God cares for the birds of the air, how much more is he going to care for us? So why would we worry about those things? A widow who had successfully raised a very large family was being interviewed by a reporter. In addition to 6 children of her own, she had adopted 12 other youngsters, and through it all, she had maintained stability and an air of confidence. When asked the secret of her outstanding accomplishment, her answer to the newsman was quite surprising. She says, I manage so well because I'm in a partnership. What do you mean? He inquired. The woman replied, many years ago, I said, Lord, I'll do the work, and you do the worrying, and I haven't had an anxious care since. We could all profit by following the example of that mother. When we carry our part of the load, we need not to be disturbed by the demands of this life. And so God will take care of it. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that's a very important principle in life that we need to learn. Some things we just cannot change, and so no need to worry about that. We need to have the courage to change the things we can, and we need to have the wisdom to know the difference between those things we can change and things we can't change. There are only 2 things you should not worry about, the things you can change and the things you can't change. And so don't worry about living. It reminds me of what Claire's dad used to say, there were only 2 kind of pies he liked, hot and cold. So only 2 things you shouldn't worry about, the things you can change and the things you can't change. What are the causes of worry? You know, why do people worry? One thing is pride and lack of faith. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. If we believe that God cares for us, and we can cast all of our care upon him, we should not be worried about anything. And the lack of humility, the willingness to humble ourselves and admit that we need help with life is another one of those things. Pride can interfere with us asking God for help. And sometimes even asking brethren for help. Sometimes we're too prideful to say, hey, we need some help. I appreciate the fact that Sue is asking for help for someone to sit with Lucky, because I know, you know, it can really take a toll on someone. And she needs help. And so when we are willing to say, okay, I need some help, then hopefully there are going to be plenty of people here to call her and say, when can I sit with Lucky? And I plan to do that myself. So hopefully she can get that help. Pride and a lack of faith can cause us to worry. A focus on the past many times can bring worry into our lives, and we worry about the past and what's happened in the past and problems in the past that we won't let go of. Philippians 3:13, Paul said, brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, meaning heaven and the righteousness that he needs to make it to heaven. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And so we have to forget those things that are behind. Those things are past. There's not a thing we can do about those things. And we reach forward toward the goal of the high calling of Christ and God. And so we focus on the past sometimes, and that brings worry into our lives. And many times the things that we worry about never come to pass. That's, of course, focus on the future. Matthew 6:34, therefore we do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Yeah, we probably got enough troubles to deal with today. Don't worry about those tomorrow. We'll deal with those when they come. And so forgetting those things that are past and not worrying about the things in the future, deal with the problems of today. And then don't forget you've got help through God, through Christ, and through the church to help you with those problems that you're having. And so don't give in to worry because you don't feel like you've got anyone to help you, because you do. And then the results of worry. Worry brings depression. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. When we get so wrapped up in worry and worry and worry, then all of a sudden we start thinking, there's nothing I can do to overcome this. And so that worrying and constant worrying causes us to be depressed and decide there's nothing I can do. Just give up and not do anything about it. I think to some extent that's what's happened with Kay. I think she's had this illness so long, she's worried about it, and they're not doing anything. She can't see that anything's been accomplished in, 20-something days in the hospital. And I think that worry then is causing a depression in her. And so it can happen to any of us if we allow it to. And so worry leads to depression. When we start worrying and worrying, and then all of a sudden we become depressed and think there's nothing I can do about the problems I'm facing. And so we get depressed. Worry keeps us unfruitful. Matthew 13:22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. And one of the reasons that we become unfruitful is because of the cares of this world, that we get overwhelmed with things. And so we give up on the one thing that we don't need to give up on, and that's God. And so that's a real problem when we give up on God. And so we get so wrapped up in this world and the cares of this world that we forget about God. And that makes us unfruitful in his service. And ultimately then, as we talked about this morning, the fruits we bear in this life are going to determine our eternity. So it's not faith only that's going to save us. It's how we live our lives. In Judgment Day, those books are going to be open. The books are going to be open, and God's going to compare our lives with what he told us we should be living our lives. And if we come up short, we're not going to make it. And so we need to be fruitful in the work of the Lord and not give up and not allow the cares of this world to interfere with our work for God. Worry is physically unhealthy. It can cause other problems in our lives. Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. We love to laugh, don't we? We love to have that feeling of laughter and whatever our body does, those endorphins or whatever it is that go into our body, and we just feel good all over. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And so when we have sorrow in the heart, when we allow worry to enter in there, it breaks our spirit. And that's where, as we talked about, eventually it will lead to depression. And then we see in Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Maybe facing the same things, but those who are afflicted are evil. In other words, they're just focusing on the bad things in life. But he who is of merry heart has a continual feast. He's focusing on the good things in life. And so if we allow worry to enter in, we're going to think life's not worth living. But if we focus on the good things, and we laugh and sometimes even laugh about our problems. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I remember Gilbert Howe. I was visiting with him and Betty one day, and he was telling about a story how, I don't remember which one of them fell, but one of them fell on the floor and couldn't get up. And so the other one was trying to help the one up, and they fell too. And so they're both lying there on the floor, side by side, thinking, who's going to get us up now? And so they just started laughing. And so sometimes that's all we can do. And that's a good way to handle some of our problems, just laugh at them. I'd say, Claire has struggled with that with my hearing and not hearing what she says sometimes. And it used to upset her, and now she says she's learning to just accept it and laugh at it sometimes, because sometimes it's comical. When I answer her in a way that, you know, is totally opposite of what she asked, and it can be a comical thing at times. But all the days of the afflicted are evil. Those who are worrying and worry warts are just going to always think all days are evil. But he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast in his life. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. So, merry heart does good, like a medicine. You feel better after taking that. You know, I've had some medicines at times that I felt better almost immediately after. I used to have a lot of breathing problems, don't have those much anymore, but I'd go out to VA and they'd put me on that nebulizer, and I could feel it while I'm still doing that nebulizer, my lungs starting to clear up, just almost immediately. And so they finally gave me one, and now that they've given me one, I almost never need it. But sometimes it happens immediately. Sometimes medicine takes a little longer. When we think about a merry heart does good like a medicine, obviously Evelyn, it takes a little longer for it to work for her. You know what I mean? This morning was a good example of that. That merry heart, that story that's designed to make you laugh, just took a little bit longer to reach her. And so that's the way life is for us. Sometimes it takes a little bit more time for us. I thought about telling Evelyn that she's a lot like Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said he decided he wasn't going to speak about the Lord anymore, remember? He said, it was a fire in my bones. He couldn't help but speak. And I thought, that's what's happening with Evelyn. Evelyn's decided she's not going to laugh at my jokes. But she tries to hold it in. She can't help it. It just comes out. But she's pausing there because she's trying to keep from laughing at my jokes. But it didn't work. It's eventually going to come out. And so a merry heart does good like a medicine. Broken spirit dries the bones. It just wears us out. And so the results of worry are terrible for us, both mentally and physically. And so we need to be aware of the results. And then the cure for worry. And that's what we really want to know. How do we settle this problem of that? Prayer dispels anxiety. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Thankfulness is a cure for worry. When we stop and start worrying, we need to start thinking about all God has done for us and how he's brought us through the past. And when we're thankful for what he has done for us in the past, it helps us to focus on, he's going to get me through this too. And so prayer dispels anxiety and worry. Worry, why worry? What can worry do? It never keeps the trouble from overtaking you. It gives you indigestion and wakeful hours at night and fills the gloom with gloom the days and weeks, however fair and bright. It puts a frown upon the face and sharpness in the tone. We're unfit to live with others and unfit to live alone. Worry? Why worry? What can worry do? It never keeps the trouble from overtaking you. Pray? Why pray? What can praying do? Prayer really changes things, arranges life anew. It's good for your digestion, gives peaceful sleep at night, and fills the grayest days with rays of golden glowing light. It puts a smile upon your face, a love note in your tone. It makes you fit to live with others and fit to live alone. Pray? Why pray? What can praying do? It brings God down from heaven to live and work with you. And so prayer is a cure for worry and anxiety in our lives. Take it to God in prayer. Then we have God's comfort as a cure for our worry. Psalm 94:19. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul, knowing that God is there and that he cares for you. Should be a great comfort to us when we worry about things. And again, looking at how he's brought you through things in the past, and you can be convinced he'll bring you through things in the future also. So the comfort of God is a cure for worry. Trust in God is a cure for worry. Sometimes people say, if you got a real problem with worry, you got a lack of faith. You're not trusting in God like you should. Keep God, keep yourself focused on God. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So if we keep focused on God and trusting him that he'll take care of whatever problems we're facing, we can have peace. And it's hard to worry when you're at peace. Peace brings turmoil and problems into our lives. Trust in God, Jeremiah 17:7-8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, because its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. You know, a lot said there in that small section about the importance of trusting in the Lord and that all that it will do for us, and that comparison to a tree planted beside the waters, those waters that won't dry up in the drought. And that's what happens to us with God. If we trust in God, no matter what happens, no matter how many droughts come into our life, how many problems come into our life, we're going to be there to receive that nourishment from God, that river that our roots go deep down into. And we trust in God, and he's going to see that we have what we need to continue to yield fruit in our lives. And God is with us, Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so God is like that shepherd. Those sheep don't worry about anything. They've got that shepherd there, and they know he's going to take care of them. And he's going to run off that wolf or coyote or whatever is going to attack those sheep. He's going to run it off. And they know that. They've probably seen that in the past. And so God is like that. He is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Do you ever wonder why that staff that the shepherds had have that curved hook on it? That staff is to be able to reach and grab that sheep when he's out on a ledge or something and in danger. And so the rod and the staff comforts us, that God is like our shepherd. And of course the 23rd Psalm is the shepherd psalm. And so God is with us, and we need to remember that. We need to believe in God. John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So don't worry about this life. If you believe in God, believe in Jesus, then we know we've got a better place in heaven reserved for us. And so we don't have to worry about this life. This life is filled with problems, and even though we learn to get along with those problems, not worry about them, there's still problems that we have to face. And the older we get, and those aches and pains start causing us to long for heaven. That's one of the things Larry told me about his mother, that she's ready to go. She's been a faithful Christian all her life, and she's been suffering a lot, and she's ready to go. And so that should be our feeling, that we've got a better place in heaven for us. And I'm convinced that that's the reason God allows these bodies to wear out and go through all that pain, is to help us to long more for heaven the closer we get to that time. And I'm getting to that point. I feel it. That there are times I was talking to someone this morning that's been in a lot of pain. He was talking about, feeling like he was ready to go on from this life because of the pain that he's going through. Believe in God and don't let your heart be troubled. Claim the peace that Jesus left you. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so Jesus said he's leaving his peace with us, and he gives us peace, and not the kind of peace the world gives. And so we may be in turmoil all around us. I had a picture when I was in college in a psychology class. I did an experiment in testing people's emotions. And I put slides up there, and I would say, what emotion do you feel at this slide? One of those slides was a duck swimming in a little pond right beside Niagara Falls, and all that water just roaring, coming down so loud you couldn't hardly hear anything. And that duck was just swimming around in that little pond about that big, just swimming around in a circle. And, you know, almost to a person, they all said peace is what that slide brought them in memory of. It represented them peace in a place of turmoil. And that's the way we are. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. You may be in turmoil in the world, but you don't have to be in turmoil inside, because Jesus has left you peace. And our heart then should not be troubled no matter what's going on around us. Ask God's help in recognizing your anxieties. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And so sometimes we're not even aware of what's causing our anxieties. You ever have that just feeling of anxious and not know what it was or what was causing it? That may be what David is going through here. And he says, God, search me and know my heart so I can figure out what's causing this anxiety within me. And many times David points out what these anxieties are. His enemies are surrounding him, and he's got these problems, and it sounds like he's so depressed about all this, and then he gets to the end and he says, but I know you're there and you'll help me. Turn your worry over to God. Psalm 55:2, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And so we can be sure that he can take care of our worries. He can take care of our burdens, and he can take care of the problems that we have. We just need to turn them over to him. 1 Peter 5:6-7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And so we need to turn our worry over to God and not allow ourselves to be taken up in that. And then we need to keep focused on the present. Psalm 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Remember that scripture that was read? He said, don't worry about today. And the two times you shouldn't worry about is the past and the future. Just keep focused on the present. Today is all you can do anything about. And so you just keep focused on it. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it no matter what happens to us. We're going to rejoice in the Lord. Think of Job and all that happened to him. And Job always kept a positive attitude about his relationship with God. And even though he didn't understand why he was suffering, he never lost his faith and trust in God. And so we need to do that also. And ultimately, he was blessed. So are you worried about your life? Our emphasis should be on the spiritual. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Every problem we face in this life is temporary. And anything that we can suffer in this life is temporary. And so we need to forget about physical things, even our physical health, and realize that we have a spiritual body waiting for us where we won't have any pain or suffering. There won't be any problems for us any longer in heaven. The promise of heaven makes the suffering of this life worthwhile. Paul said, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul had just talked about all the sufferings he had gone through. And his conclusion was that all that he had gone through is nothing compared to the glory which awaits him in heaven. And that should be our attitude. We'll go through anything here on earth in order to make it to that home in heaven. Because there's no comparison. If we suffered every day of our life here on this earth, it wouldn't compare to the glory that awaits us in heaven. Spiritual things cannot be taken from us. Luke 10:38-42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. So we need to realize that the good part, the spiritual thing, can't be taken away from us. And that's where our focus needs to be. Colossians says that we need to focus on things above, not on things of this earth, because our life is hidden with Christ in God. And so this life should not worry us. And the only reason it should worry us is if we don't have that life in heaven that's waiting for us. So if you got any doubts about that life in heaven that's waiting for you, you need to make sure you're on the right track, that you're not on the broad way, but you're on the narrow way that leads to life. The broad way leads to destruction. Few enter that narrow way. And you need to be sure that you are on that narrow way. And if we can help you at this time to either become a child of God and have all of your sins washed away after you repent of your sins and confess Jesus as your Lord and Master and the Son of God, and you're buried with him in baptism to wash away all those past sins, God will never bring those up again. They're gone. All you have to worry about then is the way you live your life now. Until your death, you remain faithful. And if you remain faithful, then the blood of Jesus will continually cleansing you as you repent and confess of sins that pop up in your life. If you're a Christian, then you could be in that situation where you've committed sin and you need to repent and confess that, as Simon the sorcerer did when he was told he was in the bond of iniquity. And that he needed to pray that God forgive him of that. And so if we can help you to be assured that you have that home in heaven in any way, if you've got any doubts, please come so that we can help you remove those doubts as we stand and sing.